The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
Welcome. It's the Home Improvement Show. I think John's having a little bit of trouble. And so give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'd be glad to hear from you. We're talking home improvement. I know, John, we were going to talk about exterior doors today.
Okay. Hey, Dave, sorry. My bad. I had a button failure here. Can you hear me?
No worries.
Okay? Yep.
Yes.
Yes. So I was talking away, and I realized I don't see a signal.
High tech headphones.
No, that wasn't it. It was my line in here. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't see anything going out. I bet that's a problem. It's all good though. I don't know how far you got.
Just talking about that we were going to talk about doors.
Yeah. Well, I thought it's like, I like a little bit of symbolism, and we're sitting on the entrance of the portal to the new year, kind of sort of. I know we're, believe it or not, almost done with January, huh? But I just thought it was good because we get a lot of questions on that. I don't know what you've gotten lately in emails, David, but there's actually a lot of options for entrance door. I wanted to focus, if I could. We'll do whatever people want to talk about at 704-570-1110. But I thought about entrance doors, overhead doors in particular, and then interior doors. There's a lot of things just in the brief 28 years that you and I have been doing this and the brief 42 in the industry, things have changed. You know, what are options? What do people like? And so I just thought, take a look at the types of doors, fiberglass, steel, installation, maintenance, weather stripping. I looked up the R values of different ones. So I thought we'd just take a look. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of door do you have in the front of your house? I can't remember. Fiberglass?
Yeah, we do have a fiberglass, and it was stained, and I know I guess we'll talk a little bit about everything with the door, but I ordered that door. It has side lights and a transom through Home Depot, and it was pre-finished. So the stain and the shiny finish, some whatever polyurethane they put over top of it, and it's a beauty, that's for sure. And it was pretty reasonable at the time too for what it was. So we've been very pleased with it.
Yeah, I don't know. At the time, reasonable at the time was that's the factor. We're not here to talk about that, but I was driving yesterday and Barb and I snuck off the side of the road, grabbed a couple milkshakes, just two vanilla milkshakes. What do you think two vanilla milkshakes cost?
Like $10?
Almost.
Yeah. I'm not really shocked
anymore.
So
back to that. 704-570-1110. We're talking about doors. And David, here's how I try to get it organized. And I'm going to need a lot of help from you. We're going to need a lot of help from you. We'll just start with the entrance doors. Like, what are the different types of products that are available? Kind of like, how do you finish them initially? How do you maintain them? And then what's the impact to energy? And then there's some storm door depending on what you do with your entrance door, your storm door options, they may not change, but there's considerations for your storm door in each one of those scenarios, right?
Yes.
And then the aesthetics of storm doors, this is another whole conversation. And then I wanted to talk about overhead doors, because there's some technology in the doors and the openers and stuff like that, that's changing pretty significantly. And then I don't think most people are installing garage doors themselves. A regular extension spring garage door and tracks isn't that hard to install, but I don't think most folks are doing that, and almost kind of ask the question, why would you? Even as a home improvement, like do-it-yourselfer, but there's some installation stuff, some R-value information there, and then maintenance. When I think about maintenance, unless I'm going down saying, okay, what are all the things I want to talk to people about maintaining in their house? I'm not thinking maintaining the garage door, right? But there's some stuff for that. And then definitely want your opinion on interior doors, options, styles, stuff like that. So there's just a lot of stuff to talk about doors. And the topic, it could swing either way, you know?
Yes.
That's it. That's all we want to talk about. But we want to talk about really what's important to you. 704-570-1110. Give us a call, and we'll talk about what's important to you when we're going to be right up against the break here. So we'll try any other topics. We'll try 704-570-1110, and we'll try to talk about when we return for these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are taking your calls this morning. We have lines open. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. Apologies for the technology. I have some new technology here, and it was doing better than I thought. We had to make some adjustments. I hope everything sounds better now.
Yeah, sounds great.
Awesome. David, need probably have just a lot of good guidance from you this morning. I know a lot about different products and different things, but I think there's just some practical and common sense things that you probably can give some really good guidance on. But if we just start talking about doors, and look, if y'all have heating questions or plumbing questions or electrical questions, knock yourself out. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll chat. Doesn't have to be about doors.
We're filling time.
It's like, well, and we do it. Go ahead.
Let's say it's what we do to get you to call. That it's we talk about anything. That was, last week we had the HVAC guys on, which was a great show, by the way. Really got into some duct work and all of that. But it's we got calls on other items too, which is nice. And that's what we want to do.
For sure. Well, it's what's important to our listeners. I think we've demonstrated that you and I can yammer on for days, and that's not necessarily the best for everybody. But right now we're going to yammer until y'all call 704-570-1110. That's it. That's cool. But doors, entrance doors. I don't know. I know that way back in the 80s and 90s, the big rage was moving from a wooden, 1 3/4 inch wooden entrance door. Remember the Style C's and the Crossbucks and all those big, heavy wooden entrance doors to steel. And really, it started when we paid more and more attention to energy efficiency, and we touted the R value of steel doors versus wooden doors and so on. And so there was that kind of that drift towards steel doors, magnetic weather strips. Remember, we would say it seals just as well as your refrigerator, and it does. Still true, right? Mm-hmm. But then came, like, people didn't like the sterile steel look, so they tried staining them. Do you remember the gel stains for steel doors?
I do.
That was a disaster. Mm-hmm. Did it work?
You have to, with a lot of practice, you could do it. When you get close, I did. Maybe the average person, I don't know, but
that's in. So like, okay, so you go over to your neighbor south of you and say, hey, I've got to put a steel door in. I have to use some gel stain, and it takes practice. So I'm going to do yours first, and that's going to look like garbage. And then you go to your neighbor on the west, hey, I have to practice. I don't think
right.
So and you could probably do it way better than the rest of us. They had that special kind of applicator to kind of emulate wood grain.
It did. I remember that.
Anyway, so
I guess my point is there's a lot of transition. And then we wanted to be back to wooden doors and then fiberglass doors. So you chose fiberglass for your home, your own personal home. Like, why?
Well, it's because that's mostly what I order for customers when we install doors, is something that's going to hold up. It really starts with folks that are exposed. So when their doors are exposed to the weather and they don't have any type of a porch cover or an awning, right, then the fiberglass just tends to hold up better. Now, if it's in the sun, it doesn't matter what you put on it. If it gets all day sun, it's going to have to be refinished on a regular basis. And I'm saying every 1 to 2 years with a coat of polyurethane, just because the sun erodes it that fast, especially if it's a south or a west exposure.
It gets hammered. And you can get different polyurethanes with UV protectant and so on, but at the end of the day, I think you give good advice in that regard. So we looked at both fiberglass and wooden, and we chose a wooden door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that is, so our when we did all this renovation, we, you know, put that canopy over the front porch and changed our whole kind of front entrance around. So it, while it has a western exposure, it does not, because of trees and because of the, you know, the overhang, it doesn't just get hammered with the brutal western sun every single day. So it's held in there, but it's time to do, what do you call it, David, when you do a floor, like you just screen.
Screen and recoat.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's time.
Pad and recoat.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's it's time to do that. We'll talk about maintenance, but Todd has a question right now, so let's get him. Todd, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good. How are you today? Y'all.
Doing well.
Yeah, I was,
how can we help?
Wondering about how to adjust pocket doors.
Yes, good question there. There's different types, but normally you have to put them in the closed position and find which side the adjustment is reachable. Sometimes it's only reachable from one side, but it'll have like a little like a star washer on top of it, and you have to slide a screwdriver or a thin punch up in there, and you spin it, and that will raise it or lower it. The worst part is that sometimes you can't reach it, Todd. So you have to pop off the door stop. So you have the casing, and then that sits on the outside of the frame, but underneath is called a door stop, and you'll have to gently remove that. Best way is with a putty knife. And just work your way along. It usually only has very small nails in it, but that will expose the trolley wheels and the adjustments, make it a little bit easier to get to.
Todd, is the jam painted or stained?
Painted.
So
yeah.
To David's point, yeah, when you go to pull that stop off, use a razor knife and just cut where the stop comes in contact with the jam, and break the paint line so it doesn't. That'll allow it to come off more freely, because the paint has sealed the stop to the jam. Did that
and
help?
I'm betting you could find a video on it too. But there's different types of adjustments on those doors. But once you get it exposed or opened up, you'll be able to see it a little bit more, and then you just kind of play around with it and see, is it dragging on one side, or is that what's going on the bottom?
No, it closes by itself.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not so bad.
You know, Todd.
One that closes by itself, runs the whole frame is crooked, and then I got two of them that stick.
Yeah, so the sticking one is actually easier to deal with. Just getting some silicone spray up in the track probably is, as long as it's not like binding, because there's the trolleys are somehow out of line. The other that they're the, it feels like the rollers are in the track though, right? It's not just like you're dragging.
No, it does feel like it's in the track, but it kind of feels like they put the door trim on too tight.
Mm.
So grabbing the drawer.
Mm. Yeah, and they did. Maybe they did. They pushed the how those trolleys sit on the door can affect how it moves. I'm saying front, back, but towards you or away from you if you're facing the door. But I don't think there's an adjustment for that. That's just the original installation, isn't it?
Well, it is. And what you do is, and I hate to tell you this, but you'll have to pop all of the door stop off. That's what could come in contact with the door. You know, the casing is what you see on the outside, of course, like the picture frame. But the door stop is what closes up the gap between the door and the casing. All it's covering is a real thin stud. So you may have to cut those completely off and rip them down on a table saw, and then you could put them back up if you feel like they're dragging.
Okay.
Hey Todd, we're right up against a break. If you want some additional clarification, don't go away. Just hang on, and we'll come back to you after the break. If you think we've got you covered, great. You can always send us a note at AskJohnAndDave.com, and we're happy to continue helping that way. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take a little break, and we'll be back to answer more home improvement questions right after these important messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are taking your calls this morning. We're at 704-570-1110. Don, we see you out there. We're just going to make sure we wrap up Todd real quick. He had a question on some pocket doors. Hey, Todd, thanks for waiting through the break there. Just was a hard stop. Do we get you squared away on the pocket doors? Okay. He might be gone. He's working on the pocket doors. All right, Todd or Don, before we get to you, we just want to do a quick Home Depot product of the week. And this week, in keeping with the spirit of doors and portals and all that good stuff, we're going to talk about the Chamberlain 3/4 horsepower LED video quiet belt drive garage door opener. I can give you a handful of points to make it the product of the week for us this week. Number one, it's a belt drive and it's quiet. Number two, it's got a 3/4 horsepower motor. It will move the door you need it move, even if you've got a 16x7 garage door. It's got an integrated camera. You say, why do you want that? Because you can stare at the top of the roof of your car when you park it? Nope. Activities inside the garage door. What really makes it awesome is it's connected to the MyQ technology. MyQ technology lets you open that door from anywhere in the world. I know this now firsthand because both of my children live in homes that have this technology. And when they're at work and we show up, we can get in the house. They know when we got there. I don't think theirs has a camera. I don't think they're watching us unload the car. And then it's got an integral LED, a 1,000 lumen light. And, you know, just when the lights come on, you want something that's going to give you decent light in the garage, and it'll do that. So all of that happens for about $275, $280. So not a bad deal at all. And that is our Home Depot product of the week for this week. And our next caller, Don, has a question. Good morning, Don. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing this morning?
We are stellar and grateful for your call.
Well, just to plug on that Chamberlain, I have a LiftMaster, and I got the MyQ camera and the Wi-Fi module control to open it remotely. It is a good feature. But on my question, I've got a house that's built in 78. It's got a fairly small bathroom. I've been putting all remodeling, trying to hold her back, but I've got to do it now. It's got a built-in... like they done in the 70s cabinet, that sort of impedes a lot of the room, and the toilet sits in such a way in front of the vanity that I'm sort of limited on the vanity. So I'm thinking about relocating that toilet, probably 2-2.5 foot over. How big a deal is it to take that flange out and relocate? Is that something Master Plumber's going to have? I'm fairly decent. Do it yourselfer.
Is it cast iron or is it the piping or is it PVC?
It's PVC.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's really not a huge deal. To get it moved over, you just have to get it in between the joist, so that you have room. And you know, usually when a bathroom's laid out, the framing is laid out around that pipe. So it's either headed off or it's intentionally placed to set between the joists, because it's usually such as the soil pipe is such a large pipe. So you really just want to make sure that you're using a sweep to get that done. I'll be honest with you, you might find that it's really not that expensive to let them come out and do it. I'd at least get a price on it just so you can kind of see where you're at. It may determine whether you want to mess with it or not.
Right. Yeah, I'd sort of thought about that. I'm hoping it runs right there with the same joist pattern, because I'm thinking about just moving it over without moving it much. But just a follow-up on that. About 10, 12 years ago, we actually put porcelain ceramic tile down in that bath along with the other bath in the kitchen. She don't like it, so I'm going to have to pull it up. What's the best way to attack to get that stuff up? Because you got the you know, the tile, the grout, and then the backer board that's, you know, down.
Yeah, if you could stay on top of the backer board, you may be able to get that off with the flat chisel. So you can rent a demolition drill. Hilti makes them, Bosch makes them. I know Home Depot Tool Rental has
Makita.
Them.
Yeah, I think they have Makita. The Makita version. Yeah.
And they'll have a flat blade that goes in it, and that's what it is. It's a for tile demo. And if you may be able to salvage the board, the concrete board. But if you get in there and you don't, I mean, you're just going to get underneath it and it'll break the tile and the concrete board up all at once.
Depends how they fasten that board. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's going to be thin setted down if it was done properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So, ideally,
the thing about it, I might want the backer board up too. She don't like ceramic, period.
And okay.
It was put in after the vanity. I had to replace the vanity because she didn't like it back then. But that was before I put the tile down. So I've got all this stuff going on, you know, and I got the spacer riser under the current toilet and all that for the tile and backer. So I'm thinking about taking all that up and putting down some, say, luxury vinyl or something. Like that. Would it be best to go ahead and get the backer up without worrying about it, or can you put the vinyl over the backer and seal?
If you're not going to retile, I'd take it up, because it's not going to be a very not going to be smooth.
Yeah,
you're going to need like a Luan or something.
Yeah.
So Don, if you take the backer up and you're going to put like an LVT down, then I think you want to think about like a Luan or some sort of underlayment to be smooth. Yeah.
Okay, so like a 1/4 inch underlayment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because they're probably going to beat that floor up a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, and they went, I think, I wasn't there when they done it. I had to work that day, but it was a multi-day project. But I think they went over just the regular sheet vinyl, you know, from the 70s. Instead of sand, you know, just because you had that asbestos aspect around that time frame. So I think it went, you know, under that, which I'm pretty sure is just regular, you know, it ain't asbestos. But are there any way to get by with a manual chisel without doing the power chisel?
You'll be glad if you
it's,
but that, you don't worry about that $100,000 rotator cuff surgery.
I would
manual too.
I feel so bad for you that I might just let you borrow mine.
I'm in the rigid platform now. A couple years ago, you had them, and I've just about got addicted to them. That lifetime warranty is
nice.
Real enticing.
Yeah, and this one you wouldn't have to buy. You wouldn't have to buy something, right, Don. Go to the tool rental and rent one and pop it out. I did a small powder room by hand, and to David's point, it's a workout. I don't know that I would do it now. I was 20 years younger, 15 years younger at the time. Maybe not quite that much, but anyway, it won't break the bank to rent that.
Right.
A drill.
Do you think Lowe's might have that? I'd rather shop at the depot, but I've got a Lowe's 6 miles from me, and the closest depot's 25 miles. So it's
they have a rental
section.
You
should check it out. But since you're in the spirit of like doing things the hard way, I think I'd just drive to the depot. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just messing with you. I work for Home Depot. I have a lot of good friends at Lowe's. You could, whichever one's going to take care of you, we always want the customer taken care of first.
Right. Absolutely. Enjoy the show. Hope y'all have a blessed rest of your day.
Thanks, Don. We appreciate the call. Look, hey, if you got some additional stuff as you bang this out, shoot us a note. AskJohnAndDave.com. Happy to help you there. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Don, stay safe. All right. Let's see. I'm trying to watch the clock here, David. We're way past our break, so I'm just going to jump there. Shannon, do not go away. David, do not go away. We're just going to take a quick break here and be back to answer your questions right after when we come back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to talk to Shannon, then David. Shannon, good morning. Thanks for waiting through the break. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Very fine.
My husband and I bought a very small studio condo down at the beach. And the previous owner was an elderly man that lived there all the time, and he basically converted it to a one-bedroom apartment with a one-bedroom with a full kitchen, full-size stove, refrigerator, and everything in it. And he had the flooring put down, but the entrance to it has tile. And I rent the condo, and so the cleaning people, you know, clean it. They do not clean that tile. They do not do anything but slop dirty water on it, and so it's constantly black instead of white. And every time I go down, I end up cleaning the tile. Is it possible for me to put polyurethane on top of that tile after I clean it so that the grout and the tile will stay clean?
I don't think I'd put polyurethane on that, Shannon, but they do make a grout sealant. Is it just a regular hard surface, shiny ceramic tile?
It's not shiny. You know, just sort of a matte color, neutral beige. But when you clean it, it looks very white, and the grout is white. The tile is white, and the grout is white. And after, the next time I go down there, it is black, absolutely black. And you can see where dirty water's been slopped against the base.
Yeah.
You know?
I
can put on top of that so that the dirt can't get to the tile.
Yeah, so the tile is probably, unless it's like a Saltillo tile or something like that, and it doesn't sound like it is. The tile is what it is. It's probably pretty impervious to dirt. They're just letting that water sit on top of it. But the grout can be protected with just custom products.
But when I clean the tile, it turns black. The water, I mean, you know what I'm cleaning, and the tile turns white.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
it's really dirty.
Yeah. So you can put polyurethane over the tile. I wouldn't recommend that. If you did that, what you're going to find is the dirt sits on top of the polyurethane, and you can come in and wipe it, and it'll get clean. Now, if you seal the grout with a grout sealer, will not require as vigorous a cleaning to get it back to its white color, because the grout tends to be a little bit more porous. But the ultimate solution is if when you wipe it clean, all that black comes off, then then really it's kind of the tile is holding up well and the grout sounds like it's doing okay. If you seal it, it'll do better. But after that, if they keep slopping dirty water on it and letting it dry, polyurethane or some surface impervious to nuclear attack is still going to have dirty stuff sitting on top of it, and you're going to have to wipe it away.
Well, yeah, but would it not be easier to clean?
No.
Only the grout, Shannon.
Scrub the tile with a brush. I mean, that's what I literally have to do, is scrub the tile with a brush. It is so filthy.
Well, then that makes me think that the tile is something other than like a porcelain or ceramic. So the surface of the tile, is it porous?
I have no idea. Like, it was down.
If you drop it, if you get it all clean the way you like it, and then put a drop of water on it, and just see if that water sits on top. If the water sits on top, it's what David and I suspect. It's just a traditional ceramic tile. It's been glazed and fired in a kiln, and the surface is not porous, let me just leave it at that. If you put a drop of water on top of it, Shannon, and it soaks in, then it is porous, and then you wouldn't put a polyurethane on top of it. I would go to a tile store, or the Home Depot carries some products. I imagine all the other big boxes would do the same. And there's a sealant that you put on stone tiles, and that would help keep the dirt out, so that when you came back in to wipe it clean, you could wipe it clean without scrubbing. But
What if she's got travertine?
So it sounds like it's stone versus ceramic tile, in which case it's a natural product, and there are sealants that you can get for that. It wouldn't be polyurethane, though, Shannon. You just want a good stone sealant. So I think, David, I don't know. I'm thinking that water test is the best way to tell whether it's drawing water in or not, right?
Agree. And if you can't tell if it's absorbing in, it'll be, after you clean it and it's dry, if you sprinkle a few drops of water on it, if it darkens, if it gets darker where the water was dripped on it, that means that it's soaking in.
Okay.
And that's what you want to protect then.
Well, I know when I scrub it, it doesn't soak in. I mean, you know, I'm scrubbing it with a brush and a cleaner.
Yeah. So sealer and a new cleaning service.
You need to leave a note for that cleaning person.
the whole complex is complaining. Of course, now you can't get anybody to work.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They can't hire anybody, but what they have is overworked, underpaid, and not very good at their job.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm just trying to think of something vacation down there scrubbing it, you know?
No, you're thinking correctly, Shannon. There's something that's got to go over there. Check and see if it's not a stone first, and then there's a sealant, but for sure I would seal the grout, because that's typically what takes the brunt as well.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Shannon. We appreciate the call. All right, let's see. We've got a flooring question for David, and we're like a minute away from a break. David, how are you this morning? We may have to just have you hold through the break again.
Go ahead.
Are you there, David?
So, I got an old mill house that we're rehabbing, and we're having trouble with the oak floors. You know, we've sanded it. We've put a bunch of things on it. I guess the question I have is, on stripping it, is that going to wreck the wood? There's all kinds of stuff on it. You know, you can imagine.
So,
it's 50 years old. So
the odds are, if it's 50 years old, it's not going to wreck it to sand it down well. But we're going to be right up against a break. So if you don't mind, hang on, because David actually did this once in his life, and we'll have some really good advice for you. Dean, we see you out there as well, and you've got some good help for Shannon, so we want to make sure we get to that. So David, don't go away. Dean, hang tight if you would, because we want to be able to help Shannon out. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back to answer your questions at 704-570-1110 when we return from these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. We got some lines open. just real quick follow-up. Custom Building Products makes a tile grout and sealer, a tile and grout sealer, and then both Custom Building Products and Zep make a grout cleaner. And all those are available at the Home Depot. David, you have your app. You could probably tell them what aisle it is in the local stores. But that could be some just some helpful information. I think someone actually called Chris and asked for that as well. And then Dean has some additional help for Shannon. Dean, thanks for waiting through the break, and thanks for offering some help. How are you this morning?
Good, good. How are y'all?
Excellent.
I'm actually a specialty sales assistant manager at our local Home Depot here in Charlotte. And if Shannon's having this big of a problem with that dirt getting beat into this grout and tile, I'm going to recommend a specific sealer that she needs to use. It's called 511. There's two different ones. It's a water-based one and then a regular one. The regular one is the one I would go with. It's got a 25-year warranty on it, satisfaction guarantee. As much as she's cleaning it, it may not last that long, but it's going to give her the best result as far as keeping that tile and that grout from getting dirt down inside it to where it won't come out at all.
And what is it called, Dean?
It's called 511 Impregnator Sealer. It's on our tile,
okay,
or on our tile thin set aisle.
That's what I use in our shower, John.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does have a little bit of a funky smell to it when it's wet, but it does dry pretty quick and doesn't have that smell once it dries. But I always recommend people, if they're going to put it down in this cold weather, to close the door and turn a bathroom fan on if it's in the bathroom, or crack a window until it is dry, because it does kind of have a little weird smell to it. But
okay,
low VOC, it's a great product. What I recommend anywhere that's going to get heavy cleaning with abrasive cleaners or very frequent cleaning, because the more you clean, the more the tile sealer will wear down.
Awesome. 511.
Yep. And it's about $35, depending on what store you're in, what market you're in.
Good deal. Dean, thank you so much. Which store do you operate out of, Dean?
At the Still Creek Home Depot here in Charlotte,
okay,
Carolina.
All right. Well, tell Sandy Little I said hello.
I will do. She's one of the best kitchen designers probably in the company.
Yeah, and she's not a bad plumber either.
She's not.
All right, Dean, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, here comes David. David, thank you for waiting through the break. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
How you doing? Thank you.
Excellent.
So we have sanded it literally for hours and hours. I think about 16 or 18 hours of that, and still have stuff. You know. There's like probably oil-based paint. There might be stain. Ugh. Who knows what it is? You know.
Can I ask you what you're sanding with, Dave?
24 course sander. It's a square one.
Your hand sanding?
No.
It's a plate sander.
We rented the sander. Yeah.
It's a vibrating.
Not the drum sander. It's a plate sander. Yeah.
Yes. That's the problem. Is that if you want to cut this, you really need to get someone in there with a drum sander. I know you probably don't want to spend the money, but I'm telling you, they will cut that floor. They'll be in and out of there in a couple of hours.
You can rent those. Is that right?
You can. I've been to school and learned how to run one of those. And if you asked me to come over there and do it, I would tell you no.
Yeah,
it takes a touch to run one of those. Otherwise, you end up with a bunch of dips in the floor.
Yeah. So what about strippers and such?
I mean, you can use those. I mean, there's different types of strippers. I just think that when you're sanding floors, if you go in there and you cut that with a 60 grit paper or a 40, with a 60 grit, they'll be able to take all that stuff off, and it'll be overdone. And then they'll finish with either 80 or 100 grit paper, depending on whether you're going to stain or you're going to just seal it clear. Now,
yeah.
I will tell you, if there's water stains, black stains, yep, in that floor, right, they're not going to come out. That's deep into the floor, and it normally, once it gets through the finish, it's pet stains are normally what that is. You won't get it out. Most stains won't hide it. But the stains that I found that do the best are at hiding that are in the burgundy. They have the burgundy tones or colors, tend to camouflage the pet stains or the dark spots
burgundy
a little bit better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a mahogany. Mahogany stain. Yeah.
Okay, so it's the name of the company that makes the stain is Burgundy.
No, that's the color.
No, that's the color.
There's any different specific stain.
You know, all the different manufacturers are going to have a multitude of colors, so you could decide. But you know, some of that come to
Parks is a good one, isn't it?
Bona.
Bona
Minwax. Also, we use Minwax, but I think there's a bunch of water based. If you're living in the house, you may want to use the water based products to do that. And you could just get somebody to come and just sand the floors. But if I was you, I would just get a price on having them sand it, stain it, and finish it, and be done with it, because they do it every day and they're good at it. And if you want to learn how to do it, watch them. For the next time, but until you see how to do it, it's probably better if you leave it to the professionals.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I didn't used to think that. I went to a sanding school, and then I learned a lot about what I didn't know.
yeah, I gotcha. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks for the. Thanks for the call, David, and thanks for waiting through the break and that quick answer for Shannon. Appreciate you. All right, David is going to go think about that. You can tell he's not sure. David, I would say that was super sound advice. If you've ever seen those drum sanders, I mean, they're awesome, but you can go from your family room to the crawl space in about 30 seconds.
The thing is, there's no repairing that. Once you cut too deep, then the floors have to be replaced. So it's one of the things that I say is not for the do-it-yourselfer. Now, he had that vibrating plate sander. You can do that, but it's really only for getting a light finish off. It's tough to get all the way through all that. And he's using what, 24 grit?
That's what he said. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's aggressive.
So it's like pebbles.
Right.
All right, folks, we got to take a break here. You're with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. Lots of good calls this morning. Appreciate it coming in. Kevin, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you? Excellent. How can we help?
I just wanted to ask you a question. I am I'm in the process of planning to build a house, and we wanted to build a beam and post front porch on it. And during our construction, of course, we're going to have to clear off the land, and the land has a lot of red oaks on the land. I was thinking about possibly using those oaks for the beam and post, but I wanted to know what you guys saw as issues that I would run into in the process of doing that.
David, decay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is a cedar side scenario that could be helpful, but go ahead.
Yeah. It's exactly, because that's right where I was going with it, John, is that you would use something like cedar, because it's going to be exposed to the outside. Red cedar being better than white cedar as far as holding up right. to the elements, and not as appetizing to insects.
Okay.
So yeah, so red cedar, something like that would be better. Redwood, cypress, anything like that would do better than oak. But you could use that oak, but you would need to treat it with something like Cedar Shield, and it almost would need to be soaked in it, not just brushed, because it's.
So,
it's
what kind of time frame are you talking about getting it to the point where we could actually use it?
It'd have to be dried as well. But that's where Cedar Shield comes in handy, is that it'll dry it out by pushing the moisture out of it. I almost want to tell you to call them or they have an 800 number, a technical line, next week, and talk to them and see what they say about that. Whether you should submerge it or if you could brush enough of it on there. To treat it, to do what it needs to do. After that, now remember, that's just a wood stabilizer, so all that's going to do is take the moisture out of the wood and keep it from absorbing moisture again. If you want to preserve it and keep it from graying out over time, which it will do, you're going to have to stain it.
Right, yeah. I'd planned on that, but I just didn't know. I mean, structurally, I think it would be sufficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is, and obviously on the columns, those have to be elevated off of the deck that you put them on.
Right.
They can't sit right down on it, so they have to have a metal structural plate that keeps them up so moisture can pass underneath. But you'd have to dry it. But I think I would also just look at some rough sawn. Cedar, maybe look at that. It might be more of the look you're after. I'm not sure.
Right.
And then David, if he's milling that and he's going for the posts, the columns, does that have to be heartwood?
It would be better if it was heartwood. If you could get in the center, because it's normally it's aged and it's harder.
Yeah.
These
are really good size oaks that we've got. They're
sure.
30 inches, 40 inches in diameter, some of them.
Oh, my, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we should be able to get, that.
What you need and still get the post that you want. Great. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. Okay. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call, Kevin. Appreciate you.
Right. Yep, good luck with that.
How long would he have to soak that in the cedar side to really be effective? I guess that's where
probably
you want those people
24 hours. The problem is you'd have to create some type of a vat to, of course you have to buy a lot of Cedar Shield and it's not going to use all of it. So you'd want to filter it and collect it and get it back up. Cause it would still be good, but there would be full of wood fibers and mm-hmm. Wherever it's at, if it's outside, stuff would fall in it. But that's why I would want him to call them. Heartwood would probably take longer for it to absorb all the way through, but probably something that I would do for sure, to preserve that. And there's some other things out there you can do too, but it's for another show.
Yeah. No, I'm tracking with him though. If he's around all this awesome wood, and why not take advantage of it? So,
no, I get it. And it's a great, great conversation stuff to talk about after the house is built.
All right. We have lines open, folks. We're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Clearly, y'all took us up on our offer. Hey, it doesn't have to be doors that we're talking about. So we're talking about, I think we've spoken about everything but doors, which is fine. We left off talking about just entrance doors of fiberglass, steel, and wooden. For a while, David, the big feature on a steel door was its insulation value, because it's a steel door and it's foam filled, although different kind of economy versions have come out over the years that weren't quite as good, but they were foam filled. I went ahead and looked up just for grins, the R value comparisons. And if you the typical steel door or fiberglass door, which by nature, if a foam filled steel door or a fiberglass, which by its nature doesn't conduct heat one way or the other, it's hard to say for sure because there's a lot of variables, how much glass and so on. But the R value of that door is typically between 5 and 6. A 1 3/4 wooden door, so 1 3/4 inches, which is the traditional thickness. You can get some crazy, crazy thicknesses on wooden doors if you want to. I've seen stuff up to 2 1/4 or 2 1/2 maybe. But a traditional 1 3/4 has an R value of about 3. Just 3 and some decimal values. Again, it depends on how much glass is in it. Is the glass insulated and so on? But I don't know how to do the math. I mean, I suppose if I thought about it, we could. How much? I don't know how much you're going to experience in significant energy savings between 3 and 5. David, I think the difference is air infiltration. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, wood's not a good insulator, so you know, there's a lot to be learned about that when you're building. But so yeah, no, it's not, and it's not something you really want to think about. And that's what in the beginning we talked about doors and storm doors. That's why a storm door is nice to have on that for multiple reasons, but that's one of the reasons, is that you create an airlock and you create an air space between that door, so you increase the R value quite a bit. A lot of times, Jen, even though the door is air sealed and it's airtight, you can feel the cold radiate through the door.
Yes.
The wintertime.
We're going to be just a half a minute or so away from a break here, so we'll go ahead and take it. But we'll go to storm doors next, because there's some really great things about a storm door. And then depending on the type of prime door you have, there's some considerations in what type of storm door you choose. So all kinds of good stuff. And of course, if you don't want to talk about that, you have another question, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We will talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're taking calls this morning. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Before we jump into some additional conversations we were having about storm doors and things like that, I want to talk quickly about our Home Depot product of the week. And this week, it's a Chamberlain 3/4 horsepower LED video quiet belt drive garage door opener, kind of in the theme of doors this morning, although we've been in a lot of different places. A couple things that I think are important and make it our choice for product of the week this week. Number one, it's a belt drive, so it's quiet. It'll do the job, but it won't make a lot of noise. It's a 3/4 horsepower motor. Again, it'll do the job. It's got an integrated camera. And they say, well, how's that work? Well, it works with the MyQ technology. And the MyQ technology lets you operate that door and of course, see what's going on with the camera and so on from anywhere, well, fundamentally in the world. I have a firsthand experience with that, just in our kids all have that technology on their garage doors, and it's kind of cool for Barb and me. We show up there at work, we open the door, and they know it's us, not some sort of stranger. I don't think either one of them have a camera though, so all the dancing and unloading that we do when we get in their garage is just lost to public and posterity forever. But and it's got a thousand lumen LED light, which is really good. I actually added lights in my garage because when it came on, I wanted to have a little bit more power. So that's it. The good news also is it's not going to cause you to have to see a mortgage banker to buy it. It's about $275, $277, somewhere in that neck of the woods. So also affordable. And that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week for this week. David, we were talking about just entrance doors, R values, and things like that. And you mentioned that putting on a storm door creates kind of a dead air space, or even like a temperate zone. so that you can you don't lose, get the heat transfer, cold air coming in, hot air coming in or going out. There's a couple qualifications though. If you've got a steel door that seals super tight, and then you've got a very tight, like a full view door, a storm door, a lot of glass, you can create kind of a greenhouse effect between those two doors, right?
Yeah, you can. If it's leaking, you know, if you're leaking air around it, you certainly can.
So I think there's just so many considerations. Number one is aesthetically. I know that like Barb does not want a storm door on our front door. I think you could put a nice full view door on there. You could get, but she's like, no, it's a beautiful wooden door. We're not going to put a storm door on there. So you have an aesthetic consideration to make also. Then I think if you're going to do that and you've got a steel door or a door that seals really tightly, consider a vented or a venting full view. So you get all the benefits of all the glass, but at the bottom, there'll be a little vent that lets the air move in. So if you have a really big heat buildup, it doesn't cause the, I mean, we've seen situations where the plastic plants or the grills on steel doors have melted. We had one scenario where a customer said, hey, that the handle got so hot they couldn't touch the handle on the inside, the doorknob, because it was metal and it was conducting the heat that built up between the doors away. Now, this is a super high R steel door and a tight, you know, full view door, and it's taking the full bore of western sun. So it's kind of like the perfect storm. It's not a scare tactic. It's just something to consider. And then, but I think I didn't take the time to, David, to look up and see what's the R value with a storm door. But to your point, I think dead air is the best natural insulator.
And I think if you're facing west, or a southern exposure with that storm door and it has no covering, no awning, no porch roof, then you can tint that glass as well. If you use a UV tint, it'll block that away. And I think, I'm not positive, but I think you can buy a low E storm door. I mean, you're not going to find it in stock in the store. I think you would have to order it, but I think they could put a piece of tempered low E glass in that door and then you don't have to tint it. But if you already have the door and you don't want to change it out, you can buy the low E tint or a tint that will block the UV that you need to block.
Yeah. And I want to say that Anderson has a low E version. I haven't looked to be 100% sure, but I want to tell you that in that whole, they have a pretty, pretty extensive series of doors, and they're super great quality. And I believe there's a low E version in that,
right,
in that setting. So.
Well, in the best case, the best thing, and I tell my customers this all the time, the best thing is some type of a porch roof or awning, because it's not just the sun that we're trying to block. It's when that rain's coming down, and it may not even be a rain sideways at that point in time, but it's bouncing off of the porch and it's getting up all over the door, all over the storm door. If you want to preserve that front entrance door, it really needs to have some type of a cover over it. Even if it's just a simple half round awning, you know, that projects out from the house, they're not that expensive compared to what it costs to change a nice door on the front of the house, you know, especially if it has side lights and a transom and all that.
Yeah, it's a prudent, I guess, purchase to make in that regard.
I think it is.
We're going to be right up against another break here. Holy cow, it's going fast. I want to spend a minute on overhead doors, and then I'd love to get into the interior things just a little bit before we have to wrap it up. But if not, we'll save it for another day. Plenty of opportunities to speak again. So we're going to take our break, folks, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show, and we'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. We got some lines open. We're into the lightning round, the wrapping it up. This is the last segment before we end it for the week. So give us a shout. We want to make sure we cover off the items that are important to you. We've been talking about doors. David, I wanted to just get a minute, if I could, on overhead doors. I think there's a lot of options there, steel, wood, and then there's some commercial kinds of things that can be used in residential applications. But if you're saying, hey, as a guy that installs these things and works with these things, what's your recommendation for the typical homeowner from an overhead door?
As far as the type of door or the install? I like the steel door or the aluminum that's wrapped. They're panels that are completely wrapped on the inside and the outside the same material, and they're foam. They have a foam on the inside, so you get a little R value. You get a little the door's a lot stiffer. It tends to hold up a little better. It's not as noisy. I just think it's just a better door, and it's only a little bit more to go that route, but in the end, I just think they hold up better.
I am inclined to agree. Just one qualification, then we're going to jump on a call here. I think the point that you make about wrapped on the outside and the inside, so you're going to have a nice, some embossed steel, some embossed pattern probably on the outside, some panel configuration, and there's a lot of really cool options out there now. But then there's a foam core, and then on the inside, some options are just the foam core, and then some have a steel facing on the inside also. That is a worthwhile investment, David. Just if you're working on stuff in there, you're moving things around, banging into the foam and knocking chunks out of the foam and stuff like that. All that gets eliminated with a small investment for the wrap on the inside as well.
Right.
Let's talk to Paul. Paul has a question. Good morning, Paul. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Fine, thank you. This morning, a little earlier, somebody called in about using red oak, and I didn't catch all of it, but I think he was going to use it on the exterior of a house somewhere.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And red oak is not a good lumber for decay resistant outdoors.
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
And we were talking to him about treating that with a product that we recommend. I agree. I think you're better off with some red cedar or redwood, cypress.
If he wants to use white oak, has good decay resistance.
Okay.
Well, I think it was because he was clearing his land, and red oak is what was available to him. So he was trying to use what he could.
Well, I'd recommend it for interior floors. I think it's
beautiful. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely not good for exterior use.
Yeah, probably not the best. That's kind of what we were leading to as well.
We agree, Paul. Thank you for the. Sometimes it's always better to hear somebody validate, our opinions or our comments. But yeah, when the gentleman asked what would be the concerns, I think the first thing was the D word, decay, right?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Paul. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Good guidance. Always good to have. Opinions validated that we don't always get validated, David, sometimes. Although there was a lady I worked with once before, super awesome partner in marketing. And she used to say, seldom wrong, never in doubt. I think we might have been, we're not between the two of us, we're not too bad as far as being wrong. But occasionally it's good to have any doubt removed by good feedback. So appreciate that. Real quick, David, back to overhead garage doors for 1 minute. I want to talk about installation options. I think that frankly, it's a job you could do yourself. It's not super complicated.
I would argue for what you're going to pay for the labor to get it done, it's probably a worthwhile investment, because they, especially if you're putting a garage door opener on, because they know how to do the fine adjustments to make all that work without colorful vocabulary opportunities. But torsion spring versus extension spring, what are your thoughts?
I'm a torsion spring guy. Unless it's just a small door, you can get away. And I've seen them on customers' houses, and I've replaced the springs, you know, once or twice in 20 years. And they can be, but the there can be some shrapnel from those.
Yeah.
When they break, when they're extended, if a piece snaps out of it, that's my only concern about those. I just think a torsion spring does a better job lifting the door. So,
and it does it evenly. No,
it does it.
Yeah. The only catch, the catch on that is that really does need to be a professional installation. That's not a job that I would tackle as a consumer. Just too many. To get the spring loaded, so to speak. You got to crank it down and make the adjustments. And if that's not something that you do every day,
no,
we've heard some nasties. Yeah.
Yeah. You need the proper tools and an understanding. It's, you know, you should study that if you're going to mess with that at all. You know, watch somebody do it a couple of times, watch some videos, but you could die from that if you're in the wrong place, and you need the right bars to put in the sockets. So you can't improvise. You really need to have the proper size. And yeah, I agree. If you haven't done it, you don't know much about it, leave it alone. Let the professionals do it, so that we can't afford to lose any listeners.
There you go. Oh yeah. All right. So, man, I have so many things written down on here, and I feel like we're just jumping into a couple of things, and we've only got like a couple of minutes left, but let's go inside to interior doors for 1 second and talk about reblocking a door, because we get a lot of questions on that. We're in renovation remodeling where somebody's like, I have to cut a door down. How much can I take off the sides? How much can I take off the top, and so on? And I forget, like, it's what you can take off the sides of a door and the top without looking. But David,
about an inch
when you've got
to
go inch and a quarter, top and bottom, or total?
Total. That's about all you can, well, inch and a quarter top and inch and a quarter on the bottom. That's about the thickness or the height of the board in there. So if you go beyond that, what I do is I'll save the piece I cut off, and then I run it back through the table saw and to just cut the outer edges of it off, the skin of the door, and then put glue and put it back in, and then I'll use a pin nailer to hold it in place. But you can clamp it. There's lots of things you can do. But it has to be fully glued.
I think that's the trick, and that's what I wanted to share, because I remember working, like, the very first job I had in this business was as a carpenter's helper. And I think after framing out a wall or marking off a wall, and of course taking out the trash, the first thing that I learned was how to reblock a door, because we did a lot of work in basements and you know, up underneath the steps or just low clearances. You had to cut that thing down beyond what the height of the stile was. Or is that the rail? That's the rail. To be able to cut that off, save the block that comes out of it. And then I had to use like a rasp. He did not trust me with the table saw to cut the Luan back off of the rail and put it back in. But we did. We glued it up, clamped it, and poof, the door was ready to go. So
of course, if you use a solid door, you don't have to worry about all that.
Correct. that is like I don't know. Solid doors anymore, I mean, they're easy to find, but they're pretty expensive. That was one other piece I wanted to talk to, just as far as style. One of the things I think to consider to save money, if you want to go with a really nice panel door, do a full wooden panel door, you know, on your first floor or wherever it is, and then other second floor bedrooms and stuff like that, you might be able to get away with a with a, you know, a form door. So I'm not doing justice to any of this. So we'll have to make a list and come back to it another time because we are out of time. Another 2 hours has gone screaming by. Thank you for the great calls. We appreciate you. We hope it was as informative for you as it was enjoyable for David and me. And you know that every week we like to remind you that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.